Sound all right?
Yep.
All right. Kathy, are you all set?
Yep.
Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Sir, I tell you what, it's formality.
I think we're all here. Everybody got
yep.
Water, you're ready to go?
Let's rock and roll.
All right. All right, well, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Welcome to the August meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners. Like to start off by letting everybody know that the, well, first off, there's a great crowd here, so it's awesome to see. And we'll take attendance here in just a minute, just so we have you down for officially as being here, but it's great to see everybody here. If everybody should, there's Braille agendas and print agendas around the room. I think they're in the back. If you don't have one and would like one, I believe they're back there. There are also copies of the Open Meeting Act back there, which governs the rules that governs our how our meetings are run. There, during the agenda, which we'll go over here in just a few minutes, there are times for public comment. At those times, we've adopted a policy here with where if you would like to speak, we're going to ask you to raise your hand and say your name, and we'll write down everybody's names in the order that we get them, and we'll call people up one at a time. And is there a microphone up front here, Hubert, that you're going to want them to use?
I've got the portable mic here. Okay. And
so either we'll ask you to come forward or we'll bring you a portable mic, one of the two, but we want you to use the microphone so that your comments are that they make their way onto the recording so that they can get put into the minutes properly, accurately, then we'll go on to the next person. And once we make it through those speakers, if there's still time for additional questions, we'll ask for if there's any more, and then we'll continue on with the meeting. So, Kathy, where was the meeting publicized this time for proof of publication, I guess?
It was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the state government calendar, on the NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, and it was sent to Radio Talking Book and to ACB and NFB and NCBVI this week.
Okay. I don't believe, let's see here. There will not be, just a reminder, there will not be any breaks for lunch. We're looking to be done here a little bit before 12:30. So if you feel the need, you're welcome to leave early if you need to. But we're going to push through and just get this taken care of and knocked out here this morning. And then we'll all find ourselves lunch after the meeting's done. The meeting minutes will be published on the NCBVI website approximately a week and a half after the meeting is over. Is that about right?
Two weeks.
I apologize. 2 weeks after the meeting's
ten
over.
10 business days.
Yeah, 10 business days. So you'll be able to find them there. Am I missing anything for upfront announcements? Full comment period. Yep, the meeting is being recorded.
Oh, and the recording is posted on the website.
Oh, true. Yeah. The meeting, if you wanted to listen to the meeting at a later date or in the future, if you aren't able to attend but you wanted to hear what was going on, the recordings are always posted on our website as well. So you could go back and find a portion of your life that you don't want to ever get back, and you can listen to the meeting again. So, anyway, Becky, if you could go ahead and read through the agenda.
Okay. 9 a.m., call to order, welcome and introductions, announcement concerning public comment periods, meeting agendas, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics, 9:10, approval of May 2nd, 2015, public meeting minutes. 9:15, focus topic, Nebraska Training Center update. 10 o'clock, public comment. 10:15, commissioner's report. 10:25, report from the executive director. 10:45, break. 11 o'clock, budget update. Thank you. 11:10, newsline update. 11:15, client assistance program complaints or issues. 11:20, Nebraska business enterprise update. New business, and that starts at 11:35. Discussion regarding staff attendance at national conventions of blindness organizations. 11:50, public comment. 12:05, officer elections. 12:15, final announcements. 12:20, adjourn.
Okay. All right. One announcement that I forgot was the restrooms on this floor, if you need to partake in them, they're towards the other end of the building. So just walk back down this hallway the way you came, zigzag past the elevators and down the hall a little further, and I believe you'll come to a door that's open in the middle of the hallway, and they're just beyond that on the right. Is where those are located. And there is a drinking fountain just right outside the doorway here in the hall. There is somebody in the audience has a radio that's playing.
Oh, sorry.
If we could, that'd be great if we could turn that off or take it outside. And so with that, the next item on the agenda was the approval of the May 2nd meeting minutes. The minutes will not be read, but they are posted online for everybody to review. The commissioners have all gotten a copy of those and have had an opportunity to review them and add corrections. So I'd like to take a roll call vote to seek approval of the minutes.
Need a motion.
I'll move the adoption of the approval.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Becky?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Julie?
I'll abstain since I wasn't able to attend that meeting.
Okay. Robert?
Yes.
And yes. So, motion passes. And that brings us on to our focus topic, which is the Nebraska Training Center update.
Carlos, is that you?
Yes, Carlos. Okay,
sorry, would you mind to go around the room to see who is here?
You know, you're absolutely right. We said we would do that. I apologize.
Sure.
We should introduce ourselves too.
Right. So we need to run through and do attendance. You're absolutely right. So Kathy, are you ready? All right. Mike Hansen, I represent the National Federation of the Blind on the Board of Commissioners, and I'm the chairman. Robert.
Okay. So Robert Newman, I'm a guy from Omaha, Nebraska.
Julie Johnson, a commissioner from York, Nebraska, and I brought lots and lots and lots of sweet corn, so after the meeting is over, you have to haul it away with you. Thank you.
Yeah,
and it's free, so please take as much as you think you'll eat.
Yeah, but let me get my 12 dozen first. Anyway, Jim Urock, I represent the American Council of Blind in Nebraska, and I'm from Omaha.
Becky Reakin, South Sioux City.
We have Kathy here taking minutes for us, Kathy Stevens from the staff of the Commission for the Blind.
And I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director from Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson from Lincoln, I'm doing the recording.
Okay.
No.
And do we need to just speak or do we take the microphone around to get everybody?
All right.
All right, we're going to carry the microphone around to get everybody's name.
I'm Kim Shabar.
I'm Eli Sitters, and I'm a student at the training center.
Robert Benton, a student at the training center.
Barbara Epworth, I represent Omaha Council of the Blind.
Carlos Ervan, Deputy Director for Services.
Carol Jenkins, Supervisor, Nebraska Center for the Blind.
Wes Majerus, Senior IT Support Infrastructure Support Analyst, Lincoln.
Karen Anderson, Board Member, National Federation of the Blind, Nebraska.
Katie Regan, Board Member, National Federation of the Blind, Nebraska, Lincoln Chapter.
Lori Jacobson, Department Resource Tech.
Adrian Moody, Staff of Blind.
Zach Hay, Lincoln, Nebraska, NFU, Nebraska.
Connie Daly, NCPBI staff.
Hobbin, Deputy Director, NCPBI, Lincoln.
Carrie Brent Porter, President, American Council of Blind, Lincoln Chapter.
Sharon Brent Porter, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Andy Freitag, Federation of Blind.
Jeff Altman, Cane Travel Instructor, Nebraska Center for the Blind.
Dan Bird, Driver, Omaha, Nebraska. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Carlos, for catching that. Okay, so moving back to the focus topic for today, which was the Nebraska Training Center update. And Carol, were you going
to
just
turn there? Or you want...
We'd like you to at least have the microphone, but wherever you feel comfortable.
Right. I sent out my full report to everybody, all the commissioners, and the LinkedIn administrative team. So I'm not going to go over every little thing in my report because three students from the center are here to talk about their experiences. So I don't want to take up the whole entire time just talking. So I'm sure you guys are more interested in what they have to say than what I have to say. The month of August would be my 11th month as supervisor of the center, believe it or not. It's been 11 months. The time flew by. So when I went to write this report, I'm like, wow, you know, there was more there than I thought there would be, you know, because 11 months is longer than I thought. But a lot of stuff has changed. Lots of positive things have changed. So the first thing I was going to talk about is the morale at the center. The morale has done an about face. It's night and day difference from before to now. You hear people laughing, joking, having a good time. Staff love their jobs. They're happy to come to work every day. The clients, you know, have a more positive learning environment and have been growing and succeeding. Those of you who haven't been to my office, I have a quote hanging on the wall in my office. It says, "Dream big, set goals, and take action." And when I go to my office every day, I see that to help remind me of the purpose of my job for every single day that I go to work. With that, the decor at the center has gotten a facelift. I took a lot of the other artwork and things down, kind of dated. Some of it wasn't very professional looking anymore. And so I wanted to have a new facelift to portray the professional adult training center that we have here in Nebraska, because we are one of the top ones in the nation. Remember, you're looking at me. Am I not talking?
I'm sorry, I have to use the mic.
Thank you. All right. Is this better? Is that better, Hubert?
Hello, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So with the new decor, what's on the wall, there's still some artwork. But what's there now are positive affirmations. And the very first one you see is about excellence. It's a picture of a bald eagle flying. And I wrote down what the picture actually says so you guys have a better understanding of the environment that I wanted to create in the center. It says, excellence is the result of caring more than others think is wise, rising more than others think is safe, dreaming more than others think is practical, and expecting more than others think is possible. So every day when you walk down the hall, students, staff, other staff at the agency see that. That's the very first thing they see when they come to the center. And I think it's a good reminder and a good statement of the philosophy the center has now. The schedule, that was one of the bigger projects I took on in the beginning. I changed the schedule to give Braille and computers 2 hours apiece because before, each class shared a 2 hour time slot. This new schedule has been working quite well, I think. Staff and students seem to like it a lot, and it's made learning a lot more different things in those classes possible. I've also expanded the instructional guidelines. For example, in shop, I added a home maintenance section, and I also added emergency preparedness. In home management, we now do what we call TDLs, Techniques of Daily Living, once a month down to Sierra Apartments, and we work on those independent living skills with the students in their training space. Activities. We now can do up to 4 activities a month, and in my report, I submitted a whole long list of things that we've done recently. The biggest activity was when we went to Camp Carol Joy Hauling. We did that for about a week, and during that week, while the center was vacated, Home Teaching Plus, which is a statewide home teaching program, happened at the center in place of us being there, and it worked out really well. So the clients, and one of the clients who are here were actually here at the time when we did that activity. But we went paddle boating, fishing, we flew kites, we played games, we went to a wildlife safari park, we went to a museum, we roasted s'mores over a campfire, we went owling, we did high ropes challenge courses, you name it, we did it. A week-long packed full of fun stuff. Another thing that I was working on was the relationship between the center and the field staff. Because before there was some, I don't know if I'd say bad feelings, maybe some resentment, just not a very good communication or a team approach. So what I did to kind of work on that and fix that, I have an open communication policy and an open door policy. So the center staff, myself, the field staff, are always in constant communication with each other. It's not just, okay, we're going to write a case note, put an e-force, and that's it. We call, we text, we send emails, almost on a daily basis with the staff and the VR counselors for the clients who are at the center. And I've gotten really good feedback on that. All the center staff and field staff so far seem to think that's gotten much better. Relationship is much, much better now. I'm flipping through the pages of my report so I don't miss anything. The apartments. We have given the apartments quite a bit of a facelift as well. I would say within the past 3 to 5 years, is when all the upgrades have happened. All the apartments have new beds, new dressers, nightstands, a computer desk, painted carpet, water heaters, floors, almost every single thing in the apartments have been upgraded. So they look really, really nice now. Gotten good positive feedback on how nice and professional looking they are now. I've also been working on revamping the center survey because we were wanting to track the benefits of center training because we know it's beneficial to everybody. Even though not everybody always reaches their vocational goal, it's still beneficial, still improves people's lives. So we wanted to create a survey that would measure those particular things. It's not done yet. It's still a work in progress. It's taken longer than I had anticipated. but we have a rough draft and things done, and we are moving forward with it. So hopefully soon that will be done, and you guys will be able to see the survey.
Here, quick, couple of quick questions before I forget, because I'm up to like four, and I know I'm going to forget some. So the survey, will it be like a pre-post test where they'll take it at the, you know, beginning of center training, or maybe right before they come, and then at the end so you can compare?
No.
No. Okay.
It's just, and the reason for that is, I've been working with Dr. Bell from Louisiana Tech University, and he cautioned me to not survey the life out of people, because in the field, they get surveyed at least twice. And in the center, if you do two more surveys, a client is being surveyed four times. And that gets to be a little much, and the client doesn't want to do the survey anymore. So we're just doing one at the end, and it's short, sweet, and to the point. We wanted the clients to be able to take this survey in 10 or 15 minutes, and that was it.
Right.
So hopefully, and most of the questions are, there's some open-ended ones, but most of them are strongly agree, agree, disagree, strongly disagree.
Okay.
And based on the type of question we're at, we're asking specific things, skill-wise, to be able to measure that data.
That is excellent. I am all about measurable. Because the one as it is now is really vague, and it's difficult to compare.
It is.
You know, a 3 is a 3, and you can compare that to a 4, but good is really open for interpretation. What does?
We try to get away from the subjective ness of the survey.
And then my other question was about the apartments, and this may be before you came, but you mentioned like the carpet and the water heaters were replaced, and I'm wondering if the apartment owners
did that.
Okay, good, because I was thinking
the furniture and things,
right,
the things that we replaced, but the actual structure of the apartments themselves were things that the landlord replaced.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
I was just telling you guys so you would know that those things have been upgraded as well.
Yeah. No, I was just hoping so. I figured so, but I thought.
Julie Johnson is talking right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
People were asking, so I figured it out there.
Sure.
You said you had four questions?
Yeah, but I forgot what the other two were. So, see, I told you.
Feel free to interrupt me.
Well, since you're taking questions right now, this is Mike. I have a couple for you.
Okay.
So we'll get those up. So we don't get too far away from where these were. First off, I guess I just wanted to comment that I've gotten. It seems like a small thing when you read it in this document that you're changing the decor, but I just want to say how much I think of a difference it makes, because I've experienced it someplace else. Working at Madonna, we got an email from the executive director the other day of Madonna, specifically talking about policies that they have there about the decor and decor in people's personal offices and what it needs to be like. And there's a lot of science and behind it. I mean, there can be. And whether or not there was that much effort put into what you're doing, other than just trying to make it more encouraging atmosphere, nicer environment to be in, a more friendly, inviting space. If I don't know if you had a lot more thought into it other than that, but they actually had, and they're doing a lot of the exact same things that you're doing, and it has served them very well, and I know they've gotten a lot of great comments from people visiting their hospital that come from all over the country. So just wanted to commend you on that. But my first question was I wanted to ask if you could explain the changes to the schedule just a little bit better. Or have a little more detail, I apologize. You had said that the computer and braille classes that they have one full day a week now, is that right?
No, they each have a 2-hour block.
Okay.
They were sharing before, each class is only an hour long, and they are sharing one 2-hour block.
Oh, okay. Because
so now each class is 2 hours long, so you have 8 hours of each class a week. Granted, there are 5 classes.
Okay.
And we're only open 8 to 5.
Right.
Which only gives you time for 4.
Okay.
So each class now has an office day to work on planning and preparing for the next day, get case notes, paperwork,
okay,
all kinds of stuff done. So that it's working out really, really well.
Okay.
I thought that you mentioned the regional public.
No.
Yeah, there.
Is it okay for a question to be asked?
Sure.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Is it not true that you mentioned one time that you interact with Braille and computer because not everybody needs 2 hours of Braille and not everybody needs 2 hours of computer? Something about, you know, but there are people that know Braille real well. So I thought that you were interacting some computer with it, you know, so it would make it more.
In Braille class, 2 hours is a long time of Braille, especially if you're first learning. And reading and writing for 2 hours, it's a little monotonous. After all, Braille is really, really important. But in that class, Sahar also teaches iOS devices, VoiceOver, how to download books, you know, the Bard app, Bookshare, Learning Ally, all of those things, money identification, color identifiers, all those things, to help break up the monotony. And I pulled those from the computer class curriculum, so that way in computers, that's the main focus. They can learn, you know, how to type and be proficient, and use JAWS and be proficient, and not just dabble a little here and a little there, but actually have a good foundation of computer skills and other skills when they're at the center.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was just a comment in here that was said there are full days Monday through Friday, and that's where I got a little thrown by that. But okay, thank you. That clarifies that. The other one was you started to talk in here about I believe you got to this, the instructional guidelines. And how they've been reviewed, and you're starting to talk about it here just a little bit, even how you're shifting some things from one class to another. Classes, the curriculum has been expanded. I was wondering how often the a review of the curriculum occurs. I know you've only been doing this for 11 months now, but I didn't know if you had any ideas of how often you might go back and sit down and review the curriculum completely and make, you know, so there was a concerted effort to do it, like everybody sits down once every other year and we really dive into it, or if it's just kind of an ongoing thing, if you thought about that at all.
It's kind of an ongoing thing.
Okay.
Because I look at the instructional guidelines quite frequently, almost on a monthly basis, I would say. So I'm always doing revisions and updates. And part of that is when consider students give me feedback, say, you know, I'd really like to learn this. I'm like, oh, you know, that's a great idea. You know, where could we put that? Where would it fit the best? And that kind of stuff. So, I mean,
okay,
formally with maybe once a year, but it's something that we're always constantly looking at.
Okay. unless there was something else,
I thought of my question.
Awesome. Okay.
The first one was about enrollment. And I don't know if it was in your report or somewhere else, but you were planning on being at full capacity by August, September, somewhere in there?
Yes.
And that's still, do you think that'll be able to be maintained or close to over the next years?
Well, we should have been full in July.
Okay.
We had 3 students who had some unforeseen extenuating circumstances, and they had to leave. And that was on them. It wasn't because, you know, they did anything wrong, nothing like that. So because of that, we currently have 7.
Okay.
But I do, we have a client from Kansas who will be coming. And I have 2 more clients I just haven't scheduled start dates for. So by September, we should be full again. And for maintaining that, That's hard to say. I do go to different consumer organizations and talk about the center, and I go to the district meetings, for instance, DBI, every so often to talk about changes and help to recruit. I talk at programs and different things. So it's a goal for me to continually maintain that.
Do you, I'm just thinking back to the instructional guidelines, and this is an additional bonus question. With the addition of like all the iOS devices and emergency preparedness and, you know, home maintenance and those kinds of things, do you foresee the length of training needing? I mean, it's individualized. I know we've always said 6 to 9 months. Do you think the trend will be for that to be more like 9 months, you know, than the closer to the 6? You think that'll be a change?
So far, that hasn't happened.
Okay.
The clients have graduated since I've been a supervisor. You know, they've been closer to the 6 month end as opposed to the 9 month end, but it really does depend on each individual client, because some clients have a lot more skills when they come in than others do. We also now, most of our clients have, you know, additional multiple disabilities, additional health issues, those kinds of things. So will training in those cases take longer? Probably.
Okay.
There's lots of other factors there. But I prefer quality of service over quantity. I don't believe that we should keep somebody at the center closer to 9 months when they're done at 7, just because I want to keep the center full. Clients
right.
prefer that, they get ready to leave, you know. So, I mean, there always is kind of a natural break. You can tell when a client's learned everything that they're going to learn and transition back.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I guess I'm just thinking long-term planning. You know, where is the trend going to be for, you know, more like 9 to 12 months? If we're adding a lot of new things, and I think that's important stuff, but if it changes the center, you know, what's going, then we just need to think about how all that's going to work long term. That's just all I'm thinking. It's just kind of very abstract to the future. My other quick question, and then I promise I will be done, is about staffing. If I'm remembering right, there's a computer position and a home management position both open right now. So what are the...
Well, the computer instructor position, we made a conditional offer on June 8th, I think, was the date. The deadline for that was August 8th for this particular individual to get some of his issues worked out with the government, I guess. I just spoke to him yesterday. It doesn't seem very likely that that's going to happen by August 8th, which is a Saturday, so technically it would be August 10th, which would be a Monday. Because with state personnel, you can only hold a conditional offer open for 60 days before we have to repost the position.
Okay.
So at this point in time, I'm not very confident that that will actually happen. So
do you just go to then another person from that round of interviewing, or would you reopen the position, or how does
repost it?
Repost it and start all over.
So,
and then Cindy moved to case supports. What do you call it?
We call it client services coordinator.
Clients, there you go. Okay.
That is not an official thing.
Okay.
Because the agency at this point doesn't have any FTEs.
You gotta wait
this
for this.
This is something we are trying, because we have clients with multiple disabilities and lots of other health issues. What was happening was clients were complaining because when everybody had a different advisor, that if that teacher was pulled from the class to deal with a different issue, and then the client or student would just be sitting there in class.
Oh, okay.
So that wasn't, I was getting more and more complaints. And so this was something we thought as a center, we would try to see if this made it better. And it's worked really, really well, actually. But we can't contract forever, so hopefully through, and I don't know if this is in parole before or not, but hopefully through succession planning, we'll find out statewide where the needs are, you know, from an organization and a consumer standpoint.
Okay.
This is Becky. Going back to the clients and their scheduling, so if a client is proficient in one area, how does that change their scheduling? I mean, do they do like just an hour of the 2 hours, or do they, can they maximize on the areas of their need, or how do you work with that if a person, like if they have Braille skills and they don't really need, of course you're talking about the iOS, but what about like maybe like computers, if they are proficient in computer use? I guess I'm just thinking in like schools, you know, you don't want kids to be bored, you know, or not learning just because they already know most of it. I don't know. What do you think?
Class is a little different.
Okay.
Computers is one of those classes where there's always something to learn.
Right, right.
Because it's always changing. But for students, we'll take shop.
Okay.
If they finish their shop project early and they've done all the emergency preparedness stuff and home maintenance stuff, then we look at what their needs are. And what usually happens is those students focus more on their vocation, because we do have workforce development comes in second, fourth Wednesdays of each month, and they do vocational seminar. So based on those skills in that class, we have them go out and do informational interviews, maybe do a volunteer job shadowing, have those kinds of experiences.
Very good.
Instead. And that usually happens probably within the last month or two of their training.
Thank you.
So, Robert, just a quick thing. So, I've seen the dynamics over the decades, you know, with the, between the center and the field, and just how that can be a really a tough thing to work with sometimes. And I just want to say it's really great that some of your staff, you're loaning them out to help out in the field, bringing some of the field staff come in. I just want to say you are the best choice, Miss Carol. Good job.
Well, thank you. A couple more things, because I realize time is almost over and the clients haven't even had a chance to talk yet. The center brochure is done. The center's never had a brochure before. But I did bring copies if anybody would like to take one with them. And then I wanted to, so everybody knows, when it comes to other states, how well the Nebraska Center for the Blind is doing is becoming known nationwide. Since I've been supervisor, South Carolina has sent staff for training. Utah was going to come, but they had some funding issues and weren't able to come this year. But they're hoping for maybe the next fiscal year or something, they'll have funds to be able to do that. Iowa wants to come and see our positive changes. The last 2 weeks of this month, Missouri is going to send staff, and they're hoping to build a partnership with Nebraska. Since they don't have a training center, that when they hire a new staff, their new staff will come and spend a week or 2 weeks with us, you know, and learn and have a good positive, you know, attitude and philosophy about blindness. And then August 31, September 1 and 2, Virginia will have staff coming. They're sending 4 staff members to come for some sleep training and things. So word is getting out there, and as I said before, we have a client from Kansas just coming, you know, for training. So we're becoming known nationwide, so this is good. So that was the last thing I wanted to say. If there aren't any more questions, I did want to give the clients a chance to talk about their experience.
We're not going to cut them off, so.
Okay. That's good.
All right.
Jetta might be hungry down over here, but.
No, she's just.
I thought that was snoring, and I thought, my God.
Jetta's the dog over here on the table.
She's letting the boredom be known.
My name is Kim Sherbarth, and I have been here at the center it'll be 8 weeks on Tuesday. It's been a very challenging, but awesome experience. I wasn't so sure about how things were taught. At first, I was a little nervous because, I guess, what is it called? Guided exploration. but I like it because I feel like I am learning to problem solve on my own and to figure out how to do things. And I think I'm learning more than I ever have. You know, I had a little bit of training in another state about 7 years ago, and it was very limited, like just travel. And it wasn't under Sleeve Shades. So it's a lot different. I am learning things now and learning to hear things that I never experienced before. And so I feel like I'm becoming a better traveler. Still not great. but there were so many things that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do. The staff is very supportive and encouraging, even though they're teaching in a way where they're not telling me what I want to know. so I don't know what else to tell you. I'm learning to do things. Like reading Braille, I had no idea I was going to be able to read Braille and really pick things up. And I didn't realize how many areas I could benefit from knowing Braille, like labeling things. It's just, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I can just listen to talking books. It'll be okay. But 2 hours of Braille isn't a lot, really. Believe it or not, I like 2 hours. and I felt like it was needed because there are times that not having to feel rushed, you can take your time to really process and figure things out. It's nice to have that available. Computer, having that for 2 hours too, that I am learning things that I have never learned about computers, like shortcuts and stuff that I wish I would have known 100 years ago. So it's been really awesome. look at the next you like.
Kim?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
How are the activities outside of the center? We see them as an opportunity. When you read them on a paper, somebody might say, oh, it's a social aspect or whatever. It's keeping people entertained. But it's a great way to practice the things that you're learning here in the center in a real-world experience and get to, to put things to real use. And I was wondering how that's worked out for you since you've been here.
I haven't really done any outside activities per se, other than we cook a special meal for all of our people who come for a 3-day stay, and so then we travel with Sleep Shades. For travel we also go downtown with Sleep Shades and do some travel out in the real world. And so I guess it really is a good experience because it's easier to get comfortable and not learn more if you're just always at the center learning. I feel like for instance, for travel, I've gone to the Golds building and we've gone around and tried to use the escalator, to go skywalks, to locate different things. And I don't feel like I'm doing great with that yet, but I will. And I feel like it's easier for me to learn those real skills in the real environment sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eli Sitters, and I've been going to school since June 30th. I moved July or June 29th. And I was here a couple of years ago in August. And I tried the center out when the coach was here. But that didn't work out because I guess I didn't really enjoy it. And I wasn't into it like I wasn't really into it. But this time it's a lot better. I actually see the need for this school now. And the work environment, it's so nice now that I actually want to go to school. Because a couple of years ago, I didn't want to go. But this time, been here for a month and I haven't missed a single day. Back then I really didn't know what I wanted to do, as a career, but now I started with all these different classes, like I'm learning to do different things, and I am finding my interest in computers now.
No.
So I have some idea of what I want to do, and the staff is pretty good. They're really friendly and nice and professional, and I'm learning a lot. When I have a bad day, the teachers are really good at helping talk it over with me and try to calm me down or whatever. And I can't really think of anything. Hey, Robert.
My name is Robert Vandenter. I can't quite remember exactly when it was I started here. But I will say, since getting here, it has been a very wonderful experience. I'm quite enjoying it. I'd say I'm learning quite a bit, not as fast as I'd hope, but it's still good. The staff is very wonderful at helping. I do have my off days, and they do help me out so I can still get my classes going and get it done with even on my off days. Also, since I've been here, I had one incident where I had issues with medication that I had, and the staff was very helpful in getting that situated and fixed with me, so that was helpful. I really can't think of much else to say, really.
How long did you say you were here?
I don't quite remember right now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think a week longer than
a week. A week longer, you think?
Yeah,
maybe more. Don't know.
This is Mike. I have a question, I guess, for all three of you. When we have spoken to people before who have gone through the center, there's things that always stand out in their mind from their experience. You know, usually it's people who've graduated from the center already, so they've been here for, 6 to 9 months. But there's always things that always stand out to them about their center experiences. Whether it be something in cane travel or something in shop or something in home management. Is there anything at this point that just jumps out at you like, this was a turning point for you so far or you feel, empowered now because you've learned how to do something that you weren't able to do before or you didn't know the alternatives for previously?
Well, for me, I would say it's actually quite helpful because I do have what little sight I do have, and I use that a lot. Under the sleep shades, I have found where my faults lie. How do I put this? I have tendencies I can actually pick up a lot around me on sound, but some of it just is always drowned out on me. And just yesterday during travel, I actually found how that can be a very dangerous thing to have happen. So I've got to work on that.
Okay.
Eli?
Hi, this is Eli Sitters again. I'd say I was here before and I didn't work very hard, but when I was coming here, like when I was on my way here, I was pretty scared to come because I thought it'd be pretty hard because I wasn't very responsible. And now I believe this school has made me grow up a little bit because like I actually want to work hard now, and really I haven't worked hard at all since ever. So I learned how to be responsible and do things, and I was scared too. I was scared because I couldn't lay around anymore. But now I really don't have a problem with that because I'm so busy now. I have time to do that. So it helped me growing up a little bit.
Yes. I guess the way I look at blindness for myself is different. My confidence is improving. Before I kind of, I thought of myself as blind and kind of my worth, you know, was less because I was blind. And now I'm kind of just thinking about that kind of as, well, my eyes may not be good, but I'm building confidence and I'm finding out that I can do things that I had no idea that I could do.
So, just hey, you guys, I just commend you for coming. It was a really, really smart move on your part because I know it could have been a tough one to make. It did not exist, the center back, when I went blind, and it sure would have helped me, I'll tell you. So, anyway, good job.
Jim, Becky, do you guys have any questions?
I'm fine.
Good. Julie?
Good job, guys.
Well,
thank you for coming here to talk
Kim,
to us.
Kim, Eli, Robert, thank you so much for coming and telling us a little bit about your center experiences so far. We really appreciate it.
If you wanted anything else.
Remember us at your commencement meal. That's what I'll say.
I think I've covered everything. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover. Was there anything else in my report that you had questions about?
I don't think so.
I just want to mention and remind everyone the full report will be attached to the minutes as a part of what you can read online. So
can I just add one?
Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Carol kind of mentioned it, but I also want to highlight how Carol is working with the field counselors and supervisors, and how the field counselors are getting the clients ready before they come to the center. They really work very hard on that. And it helps a lot because there is a constant communication with the center. So that I just wanted to highlight that.
Carol, I would love a copy of the brochure before you leave.
Me too, please.
I can also just pass it around.
I thought it was emailed.
Take one.
Didn't you email that out too?
I did email it.
I thought you did. I got a copy of my email.
There is a text-only version that I sent that out with the PDF from the company wasn't accessible, but they gave a text version.
Ooh, I'm going to drop them all.
I'll send the brochures around if you want. So the staff will go around and take one or more if you like.
Yes, I've laid one on this.
And this is Pearl. I just want to also add my thanks to all the center staff for the good work that they're doing and students for coming and sharing with us. We really do value and appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, with that, we'll move on to our first public comment time. And so if there's anyone in the audience that would like to ask a question, before go ahead and say your name and we'll get your name written down and we'll call you up to the microphone.
Hubert.
And I can also take the microphone if people you prefer.
Yep. Anyone else?
Okay, you've got,
all right.
You've got 20 minutes, Hubert.
I just wanted to comment for the record that tape recordings have existed to the commission meetings back to almost the first one, although I'm not certain. They have been converted to digital and are now on the website.
Oh, good job.
Awesome. I knew you were working on it, and it's good to hear that that's all finished up. Thank you very much.
And that had to be a tedious process.
Time-consuming, but not tedious.
Okay.
Well, and that's something that really goes to
kudos to Hubert and to Kathy for knowing where the old tapes even were, figuring out how one could make that into digital, and so that really was quite a big project.
I didn't hear any other names.
Zach.
Okay, go ahead. Anyone else besides Zach? All right.
Hang on a second.
Yes, I can.
Do clients have time in, like, the evenings after, you know, the center training and everything to kind of have their own, you know, do their own thing in the evening where they can just, like, relax or whatever?
Carol.
Actually, the apartment, we'll see if the clients want to say anything, too, but Lori's here with the apartments. And
first, when Kim made the comment about extra activities, I want to apologize. Maybe I've kind of been slacked in that, and so I want to apologize, and we're gonna gear things up a little bit. But we did actually try a couple of activities. The activities are structured differently for the apartments versus during the day at the center. We have the option to either do non-sleep shade activities if they choose, and if they choose that to do an activity, then they do pay for that themselves. And if we do an apartment activity to where the commission is paying for it, then that is considered, that will be a sleep shade activity. And things have kind of fallen through. Only two people wanted to go. We went a week ago and listened to the astronaut, Clayton Anderson, but only two clients wanted to attend that. So we kind of, I don't know if we're going to make activities, I have to talk to Carol if it's mandatory that people go and we do them on a regular basis, but I do feel like I want to step things up a little bit, and so we are more active with doing extra activities. But to answer Zach's question as to the time in the evenings, that is still the same. I'm only, they're only required to work with me 1 hour a week extra on homework, whatever they feel the need to work on, and it could even be cleaning skills if they want to work on that. But they do have time in the evening on their own to do whatever they want. I know everybody's really tired in the evening, so they don't always feel like going out and doing things. But I think they do more on their own on the weekends. And they've been really good about exploring the bus system and going to stores and everything on Saturdays. They do have farmers market that they can walk down to. I'd like to remind them of. On Saturday mornings from 8 to noon. And they're only like three blocks away from there, so they can certainly try that too. Does that answer your question, Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did any of the students want to comment on extra what you do in the evenings? If not, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, Robert?
Yes. Well, I have on occasions I will go out and about to just walk around and take and kill some time, explore, see what's around. What I can take and do when I have money to actually do things I want. I found some interesting places I could go to eat. I've found some places just to go to wander and browse through things. Like, I found a pawn shop that was interesting. I found an antique store. Great with antiques. Can't really afford the antiques, but I love to go look at them. I go to the public library to go and check out DVDs. That's not too bad.
Thank you, Robert. Noah, hearing that some of you guys have only been here for a short amount of time, and maybe there hasn't been any activities that focused on this yet, have you guys made it over to the movie theater yet downtown descriptive video movies?
Yes, I remember Kim when
we went on our own.
We
did. We went on our own, and Robert and I went to Terminator. And I often don't like, you know, going to movies because I can't follow the action, especially action movies. And that was my first experience with the descriptive audio or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
At least cool. I hope that I want to talk you into it.
Let's see, I've gone to the movies. I went with Kim to see Terminator. I went just,
Wednesday?
Just Wednesday when I went and was able to get a free ticket to go see the Mission Impossible movie.
Ooh.
That was very good. They didn't have it descriptive, but still, it was good. So I've gone to the theater a few times.
Okay.
Robert, tell them what our next activity is.
Alyssa, yeah, are you going to take the one I asked you on?
The next step.
Would you take the one on deck?
Well,
he could probably
do that one.
I'm
not
what
sure.
What would
that
activity
of about two people?
Huh? I'll let you tell me, Kim,
can I? Okay, so we're going to go to Assault Dogs, is that right? Baseball game?
Yeah.
And that'll be neat. I've never heard of Assault Dogs.
To be honest, I'm not a big sports fan.
The Assault Dogs is the local baseball team.
Yeah, right.
But what, Robert...
Hold on.
The activity that Robert requested from me was to do rock wall climbing. So I said we could probably make that happen. So that's what he was referring to earlier.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Okay. All right. Well, no other requests for public comment. Altman? Yeah, right ahead.
I just wanted to mention there really has been a tremendous change in the center from a staff perspective. All of us feel much more respected. We all feel like we are really moving forward as a team. Where unfortunately in the past we had some difficulties with that. I've been to a number of centers around the country that use structured discovery, and we are in a much more solid place than we've been in some time. The expectations for students is higher, the expectations for staff is higher, and things are going very, very well. And I just wanted to make sure that you were hearing that from a member of the staff as well.
Nice.
Thank you. Just a second.
While Mike's making notes, let me ask very quickly, Carol, are staff, not staff, clients allowed to, if they need to, for whatever reasons on occasion, to go home on the weekend?
Pearl's getting her exercise.
I am. I like
her. Yes. I am very flexible because I know friends and family are just as important as, you know, the sleep shade training in building a person's confidence, their skills. So having that, their home environment be a good support system, to me is very important as well. Okay. So I do let the clients go home on a regular basis. Okay. I don't require them to stay at the apartments on the weekends, you know, every single weekend. So.
Yeah, so they don't need to tell you they're leaving. I assume they have to tell you they're leaving, or if they.
Yeah,
need
they need
to
tell me they're leaving because if for safety reasons,
right? Okay.
If something happened at the apartments, I need to know.
Right.
Who needs to be accounted for?
Okay.
So I don't think I've ever denied anybody's request to go home. At least not in my 11 months. I haven't. So.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here, the. Next item on the agenda was just a report from the commissioners. And I'll start that off and just say that since May, I've had several great opportunities to interact with the staff and the clients, and I greatly appreciate it. It's always great to see all the things that we're doing, and in a couple of the situations that I was able to, or events I was able to attend, it was great to see the impact that it's having on the clients. So I spent some time in the last couple months. I was able to reach out to our contact with the Rehabilitative Services Administration and start to get some introductions going there so I can start to build a relationship with him. And the first thing I was starting to work on with him was I'm trying to find who our peer agencies are around the country. If we have questions about something, there's always been listservs that Director Van Zandt or the rest of the staff here can always use. And as some other questions are starting to come up on the board as we're looking at the future, I was hoping that we might be able to have identified maybe some agencies that are very similar to us. Instead of reaching out to, you know, every agency in the country, who are those agencies that are most like us? Maybe that they're structured the same way we are, they provide the same types of services as we do, they're roughly the same size as us. You know, instead of, where examples, you know, Iowa, they run the library services for the blind in Iowa, their agency does, whereas in Nebraska, of course, the Library Commission runs ours here in Nebraska. So in that circumstance, Iowa might not be a good peer for us that goes. But trying to identify who those peers are, took an opportunity to sit down, even with Pearl's warning that it would be an extremely boring read, and finally glanced through her personnel file, and there's lots of boring things in there, like her certification to drive state vehicle that she's passed, her safety training, and so on. But it was great to see some of the other things that were in there, seeing letters written by a client commending her service and her, it wasn't a survey, it wasn't a solicited thing, it was a client that just reached out and wanted to write her a note prior to her being the executive director, that they really appreciated what she was doing for them. To see those types of things, it was a good opportunity. Was able to continue to work on maintaining all the documentation that we're sharing amongst the board on our thumb drives. Started to work with renew an effort with to maybe improve upon that a little bit. Wes Majerus and I were able to sit down and talk through that a little bit more, and we have some questions into the office of the CIO. Just so hopefully we'll get some answers back here soon, and perhaps we can improve on that process just a little bit here in the next year. I was able to sit in on while I was down here for looking at Pearl's file one day. It was just coincidental. I was able to sit in on one of the meetings as we were evaluating possible relocations for the Lincoln office. Was able to, while I was here, chat with staff a little bit who were in the building. I was able to go to the wages farewell dinner last week, and that was a great experience to hear not only a former wages participant, Jeremy Fifield, give his presentation as the keynote speaker, but to hear the other current clients that were going through talk about what they were, what their experience was like, where they worked this summer, to hear what sort of an impact it had on them. It really went a long way to show the value that program has and the benefits that it gives to those clients that participated in it every year. So it was a great experience.
Which way are we going?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So since May, I had the honor and privilege to be one of the instructors at the Hope Teaching Plus program that Carolyn mentioned, that was able to use the center facility in May. That was for adults. That was great. Then recently at the Omaha office, they had a four-week program for youth. And I was honored and fortunate to be one of the instructors, during program as well. And then I did also attend the wages banquet and had a great meal and got to shake some hands. And so that was also something that was, great to take part in.
Julie, or anybody else?
I don't have anything.
Okay, Jim?
I'll defer to Becky. I'll go away. You have anything, Becky?
I was...
able to participate in three different items or activities. One of them was the Deaf Blind Institute, and the reason I'm bringing that up is because I visited with a parent of a young student who is considering going to Wages, but her concern is that she would like to be involved with one of the national conventions of one of the consumer groups, but she was considering going to a different program because they allowed the students to go to those. Is that one thing that through Wages, do they allow the kids to go to the consumer groups? Is that, how does that work?
Are you talking about the national convention?
Yes.
Well, the Wages program is from June 14th, so that's after the national conventions.
No,
that's before. Is that supposed to be the 4th?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Scratch that. They don't take a week to go to the national conventions. This was going to be my second point, but now it's the main point is that they're in Lincoln for just a
six weeks to
work a job, to get skills training, and so that if they took a week of that, they wouldn't be able to do their job during that time.
So
I think that's really the biggest
thing. They don't get vacation.
That would have to be their choice then, whether they would like to go to a different program or if they want to stay with the 6 weeks and not go to the convention. So,
I suppose it's...
But I just told her I'd mention it and just bring that up.
Right. Carlos might be able to answer. If someone wanted to be in Wages this in a particular year, but also really wanted to take that week and go to the convention... have we ever had that, Carlos, and some people do that?
Yeah, we had.
Yes, just a moment. And you're talking about students of the Wages program as opposed to center students?
Wages.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as they are older, legally... Nebraska is 19, they can go, and if they are younger, as long as they go with a parent.
Yeah, she would be younger, and she would be attending with a parent.
Yeah, in that case, we do, in fact, in some cases, we also help the parent expenses.
Okay.
And in the past, we evaluated the possibility of taking more than one, almost everyone, but because of the resources, we couldn't. The places that take students during the summer usually are the private centers, and they are not limited by the contract. In our case, we had to limit our staff members to 40 hours only, and to make it happen around the clock, which it is for minors, it becomes very tough. Now with the new YOA requirements, and we need to expend 15% of our budget on that transition age, we will be reevaluating that.
Okay.
So it's just a...
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And then I also was available to participate in the BAIL program, which was an amazing experience, and we had six students that just loved working, and I think those who donated their time were just amazed with our kids, and we had some great donations from restaurants, and I think Miss Karen is in the process of sending out thank yous to them, and so that was amazing. And then I just got back from Project Independence, where some of the kids that I had, this is my third year with Project Independence, and which is a camp for our blind kids, even just a year, and it's just amazing how that these kids have grown in their independence and how that they love camp and love meeting and getting to know other students that are blind, and just it was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
with that too. So, yeah, but that's what I've done, and it was fun. I want to do it again next year.
good for you. And since May, I attended the Home Teaching Plus in Lincoln and took part of Robert's wisdom, since he was a instructor down there. I also decided it was a good idea to go to Dottie's retirement luncheon and gathering afterwards, so I was down there for that. I did have an opportunity to talk to the wages folks about ACB. I also, for the ACB National Convention, memorialized my dad. I'll back up and explain that a little bit, although that doesn't have to go into minutes, the explanation doesn't, but ACB has a project, it's called ACB Angels, and what that does is that allows a member of the organization to remember a loved one and or a guide dog that has part of their life and has passed on. So I, you know, did that for my dad and had the opportunity for the National Convention to memorialize him in Dallas. And there's an MP3 that I'm trying to get a hold of to find out actually what I said, but once it's available, I'll share it with the board and whoever else wants it. So, okay. And that's what I've been up to since May.
Okay. Well, before Dr. Van Zandt, let's see here. We have a, yeah, before we move on to Dr. Van Zandt's executive report, I'm going to break a law. So, and we're going to have an agenda drop in. So this is supposed to be, but I don't think anybody's going to get upset about it here. I just want to just do a quick announcement and recognize, steal Dr. Van Zandt's thunder here just a little bit, and recognize our Employee and Manager of the Year this year. Our Employee of the Year was from the Omaha office, as Kathy Brown Hollins, and she was recognized this year by the governor for all the good work that she's doing. And then the Manager of the Year this year was Wes Majerus, here from the Lincoln office, and he's here today. So I want to give him a big round of applause. Yeah. And again, he was got the opportunity to go down to the recognition luncheon for the governor, with the governor, and
it hasn't been held yet.
It's in October.
It's later on. Okay, I apologize, but will be. So, congratulations to him as well. And on another note, wanted to use this as an opportunity to show some appreciation to somebody else. We've been told that. Another one of the staff members here at the commission is going to be retiring soon, and it's somebody who does a lot of work specifically for the commission board, and so we wanted to do something to show our appreciation for him and all the things that he's done for us. And so Hubert Paulson, we have a card for you and a certificate.
Quickly should state, I am not a staff member.
you're a contractor, but yes. You've been here and worked with us for so long that we appreciate all the services that and everything you've done for us. And so I have a card for you here from the board, but I also have a certificate. It says the Ally in Blindness Independence Award is awarded to Hubert Paulson for exemplary service to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners. Your dedication, attention to detail, and technical savvy have made our job easier, and for that we declare you an Ally in Blindness Independence, dated this first day of August 2015, signed by Dr. Van Zandt and myself.
Good job. We have to put the speech in a minute, too? Okay.
Come on, Hubert.
Really, really couldn't have done this without the assistance and support of a lot of the folks on the staff. And I guess that's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll mention about the, I was going to start with the Governor's Awards, and so I'll just say one more little thing about that. The nominations occur in the spring, and then the honorees are informed, and the actual ceremony with the Governor is in October.
Okay.
The whole process starts earlier, and so when the actual decision is made of who will be the award, the honorees, then we go ahead next and give that information out to everyone. So congratulations to them. My report always starts out with some of the activities that I've been involved with for the past quarter, and that kind of goes on and on. We'll see if I have time to go back to that. But I want to mention staff is, of course, a big... The staff are who make everything possible that the agency does accomplish. Carol mentioned some of the staff trainees. We have with us today Adrian Moody, who is a VR tech in Kearney, and thank you for coming here today, Adrian. She came to the center for 2 weeks of training, and so she achieved that, and that's really great. We also have Tim Terrell is a new VR tech in Omaha, and then we also are pleased to have Jim Hill on board as the new administrative assistant that's going to be doing the work that Dottie Wilmont did prior to her retirement. And Jim is currently in the training for 6 weeks, I believe. So we're glad to have Jim on board and glad to have Tim on board. Let's see. And also, staff-wise, I want to mention... Oh, I did want to say, too, with the nominees for the Governor's Awards, we always give all of the employees of the Commission a chance to nominate people, their colleagues, or themselves if they wanted to. But we did have a number of nominations for both the Employee of the Year and the Manager of the Year. And so, I think it's really great that the staff appreciate each other and nominate each other and recognize each other's good work. It goes to the fact that we are all a team, and so that's a really wonderful thing. So in terms of our services, the past quarter, or actually from October 1 through July 10th, we served 760 people in the vocational rehabilitation. 29 were closed with their employment goals reached, and 30 were closed without employment. Sometimes that means they moved or decided they didn't want services at this time. In independent living, we served 504 clients, and 275 were closed successfully. 37 were closed without achieving their goals. We've heard a lot about the center already. I want to add a few things. We've had, this past quarter, we had 7 new clients, 1 new staff trainee, the VR tech that came for training for 2 weeks, 7 3-day stays. There have been a lot of important people that have come to tour the center. People from Medicaid, State Administrative Services. There's a new director of the big Administrative Services agency, as well as a new, relatively new head of state personnel and a newly appointed CIO, that's the Chief Information Officer for the state of Nebraska. They all came and toured the center, so that was a really great thing. And then other guests and clients who have come to tour the center and get a better idea of what it is that we do there. So that's a really great. I have a little more about the center in the report that you can read, but since we heard so much about the center today already, I won't go through those details. The field offices, as always, have been very busy on many things. Some of it's the programs like Wages, Home Teaching Plus, and so on, and people from all over the state work the different programs depending on what the need is for mentors in a program or for staff to work on various things. So it's a great way for the different staff to get more familiar with each other as well as the clients statewide and to get out of their normal routine and do something different as well as to contribute as a member of the team to other parts of the state agency. I think I talked last time about the Abilities Fund. That's an entity that we're contracting with that has great expertise in self-employment, and they help our staff. Will refer individuals to the Abilities Fund. They help the individual explore self-employment, get a business, explore what kind of business they might want to do, help to develop a business plan, and so on. And so it's a really great resource and they've also provided training to staff and to groups of clients and to the business enterprise licensees. So in a nutshell, that's Abilities Fund. So in all of the districts, we've had staff refer clients to the Abilities Fund and start looking at or continue looking at self-employment. Some of the jobs people got this past quarter, that is the clients, and some of these are maintaining a current position. That's called job retention, and other times it's new jobs. But I would just like to list some of those. There's a monitor and evaluation project manager, a greeter, a fast food worker, waitress, assembly line worker, auto shop owner, a title examiner, medical transcriptionist, loan officer, production worker, grade school teacher, occupational therapist, farmer, licensed mental health counselor, and dishwasher at a hospital. So you can see a great wide range of jobs that the clients are obtaining as a result of their individualized program for employment. The districts are doing a lot of different work in terms of networking with employers and being a part of the business communities of their local areas so that businesses get familiar with what the agency has to offer and what the benefits are to their businesses of hiring blind people. And so that's always an important part of the work that we do. The succession planning was mentioned by Carol. We have a committee that's looking at succession planning, and what that means, it's not just about what about when people retire, who will succeed to those positions. We do have quite a large proportion, I don't remember right offhand, of the staff who are getting up there in age and qualify for state retirement. And so we look at that aspect of succession planning. But beyond that, it's the composition of where we have positions, and if we have an opening, are the clients in that area? Should we just automatically fill each position? Or, you know, we really try to look at statewide, what are the needs of the clientele, of Nebraskans with visual impairments? Where do we need to maybe put staff differently? And also, with the Workforce Investment Opportunities Act, WIOA, the major emphasis is transition and what's called pre-employment transition services, which is even more narrow, specific group of people and services that we are required to provide. And so we're looking at overall what is it that we're doing and how do we best meet the needs of the law as well as the needs of Nebraskans. And one thing we looked at was a new business manager that would be a combined business and Nebraska business enterprise person. But we also have been working to create a position that could coordinate those pre-employment and transition services statewide. Just yesterday, we got approval for, maybe it was Thursday, we got approval for creating that transition position, transition coordinator. And so we've decided we're going to hold off on the business manager, the NBE person, put that to the back burner for now, and move forward to get a transition person in place. And so that takes some work to figure out exactly, well, the hiring process and all that. So we're moving forward with that. We talked about the space allocate, or the search for new space for the Lincoln offices. That includes the training center, the Lincoln field office, and administrative offices, all of us that are in this building right now. We still are in a competitive bid process. It was going to end, I think, July 25th, but it's been extended to this next Friday, I believe. On Friday, by Friday, we will have a chance to look at best and final offers from the business or the locations that bid on our proposal, our request for proposals, and then we will make a decision. We'll either decide we're going to move to one of those or that we're going to reject all the bids and stay here. So it is, like I said, still the competitive bid process, and soon we'll figure out if we decided to that really none of the bids fit for us at this point, we can begin the process again, say in another period of time after we've reassessed what it is that we are doing. And the building division, it's all very regulated through State Building Division. They provide their expertise to us and work with us. Our search for a client database system, you know that for almost 2 years now we've been exploring, first of all, we kind of threw the net widely to see what all was out there for client database systems. It kind of got to, there are two that are more specific to the VR process. We've done a lot of work with those two businesses and systems, and even did some field trips to different states to check accessibility, kind of work with the systems and so on. Part of the process is purchasing the actual software, and part of it is the hosting of the database and whether that would be hosted within Nebraska by the State Office of the Chief Information Officer, that's OCIO, or if it would be hosted by the entity that it provides the system. And we kind of got to, as we learn more about all the technical aspects of things, we decided that we did want to move toward having it hosted by a company. And once we decided to go that direction, it becomes, it goes into the process where a formal request for bids must be gone through. And that helps to provide some security in the whole purchasing process. And I won't go into all of that. It does mean we are right now, especially Wes Majerus, Bill Brown, Kathy Stevens, and I are working pretty intensely on getting a request for proposals out there as quickly as possible, but not rushing. I mean, we've learned a lot in the past 2 years about what exactly it is that we really need, what our parameters and our criteria need to be. So we're putting it in. We want to be as thorough as possible so we can really get a good match. People from the Purchasing Bureau or the Purchasing Division of Administrative Services and the OCIO office are working with mainly Bill and Wes to get it all worked out in a way that will get us a really good product. So we just started that Wednesday. So that'll be moving along. We just got a new copier in Lincoln, which also is in the technical aspect of things. That was a process because we really wanted to get equipment that will be accessible in the use of the thing itself, but then also to be able to, when you scan something, that it would produce a document that can be read with speech access and not just an image that nobody can read. So that was quite a process. We do have that in Lincoln now, and there's a few snags. We're working on getting more memory, I believe. There's always one more thing you have to kind of figure out on even things that think they should be easy no-brainers. There's always lots of details. The state of Nebraska is in the process of, I guess, a new identifying future needs of the state accounting system and the company that they're working with. And we felt really pleased that in meetings with that company, the administrative services new director invited us to have specific session with the folks to really go into detail about the needs of the agency and really the needs of, we bring in the fact that state employees in any agency who are blind and visually impaired, we got to be able to access all the things that are needed in those systems. And you know that that's been an issue for a long time. So we're glad that at the beginning of the process, they're bringing us in the conversation. So that's a really good thing. I'm kind of jumping all around here, let's see. There's quite a bit of detail by different folks in this report.
Can I throw in a question?
Yes, sir.
So I got a couple of them written down here. At the beginning, early on in the beginning, you were talking about some of the new staff and some of them that are going through the training center right now. So since the training center was our focus topic today, do the staff, while they're going through the training center, do they participate in the activities after, outside of the training center normal hours? So if they're going to go to out to dinner one night, or go to the Clay Anderson speaking, the astronaut speaking, if they're going to go to some activity, does the employee going through center training participate in those activities?
Yes. The staff, of course, with the labor contract, we have to be very mindful of the 40-hour week. Okay. But if there's an activity that is occurring beyond the 8 to 5, then we would flex their time. Okay. Otherwise.
Okay.
The staff trainees do not live in the apartments. Mm-hmm. We put them up at a hotel elsewhere in Lincoln to stay there. So things like the center students going out to dinner, the staff trainee might not do that, but an activity to the salt dogs, they probably would.
Okay.
Good question.
You were talking about the new copier that was purchased for the Lincoln mm-hmm. office, and the I know you're working through a couple challenges to get all the bugs worked out of it, but would this be something you'd be looking at the other offices to do at the other offices as well once it's working properly here?
Yes.
Okay. That was it?
Okay.
Oh, I did have one other one. Were there currently any open positions out at... I know we have one, Fritz, who was just hired for, I believe, the North Platte District, and he's gone through training and is back out there now?
Correct.
Are there any other open positions in the North Platte District right now?
There is a vacancy, the orientation counselor position that is in the North Platte office itself mm-hmm. is not being filled yet. That's open, but it's not. It's vacant. It isn't opened as a
right.
hiring,
right?
Because we are looking at where our clientele are and that sort of thing.
Is that an option then, as you evaluate the needs of the commission? And where staff are needed, that a vacancy there could possibly be utilized in the center for the client the position that they're evaluating with Cindy right now.
Yes, okay. That's a possibility.
Okay. Okay. That was it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Much more detail if you want to read it in the in the report.
Okay. All right. Well, commissioners, any other questions?
No. Well, that was a pretty thorough report.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a 15-minute break then.
Can I mention the cake?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. In addition to recognizing Hubert with a certificate, we also have a cake, which he has allowed us to share with everyone. We didn't really ask him, but but it does say Happy Retirement, Hubert, on it.
Thank you.
And so we appreciate everything, and you all can have some of the cake.
Yep. All right, 15 minutes.
Yep, so we'll try to be back here and reconvene at 11.